tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Michael Wallace. Hamas has agreed to parts of President Trump's peace proposal for Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
Hamas says it is willing to release all the remaining hostages, living and dead, and that it will hand over power to an independent Palestinian body. The language is a little murky. It doesn't stipulate if Hamas agrees to the terms laid out in the U.S. plan, barring Hamas from controlling Gaza. The U.S. wants to establish an interim international governing board headed by President Trump. There's also no mention of the offer of amnesty to Hamas, its potential exile from Gaza, and disarmament.
President Trump warned all hell will break out if Hamas doesn't agree to his plan by tomorrow evening. Lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs say they will appeal after a judge sentenced the music mogul to more than 4 years in prison for two prostitution-related counts. CBS's Jerika Duncan says Combs told the judge he has been humbled and hates himself.
That wasn't enough to sway U.S. District Judge Arun Submaranian, who spoke directly to Combs about the abuse and said, "We read about it in text messages and emails. We saw it in the images of gashes, bruises, broken doors, and we saw the video of your savage beating of Miss Ventura."
Prosecutors called Combs a master puppeteer who hid behind his public image. At least six protesters were arrested outside the ICE facility in Broadview near Chicago.
"I'm one of many, many concerned people showing up to exercise my First Amendment rights to tell the government to stop disappearing my neighbors.
They have a fixed gun on the roof aiming at protesters. This is one-sided violence, one-sided escalation that began with mass secret police coming into our community and disappearing our neighbors."
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem visited the facility yesterday. She said federal agents have made more than 1,000 arrests during Operation Midway Blitz in the Chicago area, targeting undocumented immigrants with criminal records. The U.S. military has destroyed another boat in the Southern Caribbean Sea. Here's CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth saying he ordered the strike on a suspected drug smuggler's boat and that the four narco-terrorists killed were carrying drugs from Venezuela without providing any evidence. It's the fourth strike on a boat off Venezuela in a month.
Venezuela accused U.S. fighter jets of an illegal incursion in its airspace. The WNBA Finals tipped off last night. The Las Vegas Aces took Game 1, 89-86 over the Phoenix Mercury. Here's CBS sports analyst Keaton Jordan.
"For the first time ever in WNBA history, we have a seven-game series, a seven-game finals, which means the stamina is going to be even more important if we get into a Game 5, Game 6, Game 7.
Game 2 will be tomorrow in Vegas. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more."
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Once with the arrival of the Monarchs coinciding with a significant cultural holiday in Mexico known as Día de los Muertos that honors past loved ones. Entomology professor Karen Oberhauser with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the celebration likely predates awareness of monarch migration, but the serendipitous timing creates a meaningful connection.
"Out of this chrysalis that looks kind of dead, this beautiful butterfly breaks free of the bonds of the earth and flies. So you can see why a lot of cultures see this as synonymous with rebirth, this whole process of metamorphosis."
Oberhauser says monarchs fly during the day and roost at night. The migration is tracked through citizen sightings, with roosts sometimes containing hundreds or thousands of butterflies. People can aid monarchs' migration by creating habitats of milkweed and nectar sources where the butterflies can stop along the way. Only those known as super-generation monarchs, which live significantly longer than non-migrating monarchs, make the thousands-mile journey to the mountains of Mexico. Oberhauser says they weigh about the same as a paperclip, so mortality is to be expected. She explains exact figures of migration survival are difficult to measure. Oberhauser notes monarchs primarily use day length rather than temperature as migration cues, though climate change can affect migration conditions, with hot and dry temperatures being particularly detrimental. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunny and breezy. Temperatures very warm, highs in the upper 80s. Winds will gust to 35 out of the south. For tonight, clear and breezy, a low around 68. Slight chance of a storm on Sunday, otherwise sunny and breezy with a high around 81.
Currently 66 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick things off with the Todd Alba Show. Filmmakers Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of Just a Bit Outside join us for their first media appearance promoting their latest film project. The name is No Packers, No Life, which is about a group of diehard Packer fans in Tokyo who made their way to Lambeau.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Wisconsin's, I would say, over. I mean, the Brewers. But you got some nasty Twins fans up there in northwest Wisconsin. You got some salty Cubs fans in southern Wisconsin. But overall, I guess you got a few of those horned people over in Minnesota. But overall, I mean, what's more of a Wisconsin team than the Green Bay Packers? We're going to talk about that next. But let me clearly, for the lawyers on the 12th floor, separate and remind you, completely separate from what we're going to talk about right now, we have the Civic Media Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. You can win $200 cash prize and gold jewelry and two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota and a home game in Green Bay on November 23rd at high noon. Text the word SCORE right now on the Civic Media app, S-C-O-R-E. SCORE is the word to text. You have until 4 o'clock to do it. To win cash and gold and be eligible for the grand prize at a football game of a professional team that has their headquarters in Green Bay. It is a multi-state contest. Now, completely separate from that discussion, let's talk about the Packers. Joining us, our old friends via StreamYard from the movie Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. That's a whole other bottle of Miller High Life. Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of the new film, No Packers, No Life. Guys, how you doing?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really excited to be here.
Well, I happened to see Sean happened to be in town for another project, and he was so kind by threat of verbal NDA, and I'll never speak to you again. He showed me a little clip of the film, and I was instantly in love. And tell us, guys, how did you come to find this film?
Well, yeah, you know, Todd, we had this amazing success last fall with Just a Bit Outside, thanks to you, your listeners, and all the fans around the state of Wisconsin. That film did really, really well in theaters. And so we were doing an encore screening of it in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival this spring. Mm. And lo and behold, I saw in the program a movie called No Packers, No Life. And I was like, well, that sounds about the Japanese Japanese Packers fans. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. So I went to see it, and it was a sold out show there at the Barrymore in Madison. And it was raucous. People loved this movie. So what we did is, you know, I showed it. I got a link to share with our team, including Paul. And we all thought it was such a joyful expression of what it means to be a Green Bay Packers fan that, and, you know, we can get into the story in a minute. But we were like, maybe we can do the same thing with Just a Bit Out, or with No Packers No Life, that we did with Just a Bit Outside. And fortunately, our good friends at Marcus Theaters agreed. And they are they're opening No Packers No Life, this wonderful, joyful documentary about the Japanese Packers cheering squad, on October 17th statewide, which is amazing.
I can't wait. And Paul, tell us a little bit about the premise of this story, because when I first Packers cheerleaders, I'm like, there's a group of, like, you know, young people in skirts and pom-pons. No. Tell us this, where this came from, Paul.
Absolutely. So Ty Morse, who is a businessman over there in Wisconsin, he does a lot of business in East Asia. And he was walking through Shibuya, which is the big intersection in Tokyo, and happened to see a Japanese person walk by wearing a Packers jersey, and was like, what's going on here? So he very quietly said, "Go Pack, go." And the guy turned around and said, "Go Pack, go!" And then he said, "Go Pack, go!" And then he said, "Go Pack, go!" So then this guy said, "Hey, come here, I want to show you something." Takes him up through these alleys and into a karaoke bar upstairs in the middle of this huge building. And there is the Japanese Packers cheering squad. So it's three dozen, four dozen Japanese people who, for various reasons, have become super fans of the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And they show up at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning, because of the time difference, and watch games and cheer on their favorite team. And so Ty said, you know, this is so incredible, I have to bring them to Green Bay to watch a game. So this film follows that entire story. And it's really, you know, Sean put it best. It's joyful, and it is such a celebration of how the things we love, in this case, you know, the team that we love, the Green Bay Packers, brings people together from across the world. So it's just, it is laughs and smiles from beginning to end. And we could not be more excited to be sharing this with the statewide in Wisconsin, you know, thanks to our friends at Marcus Theaters. So we're just thrilled.
And you nailed it, I think, Paul. I know Sean, you and I talked about this. It's a crazy world out there right now. And there's so much divisiveness out there. And boy, anything that can bring us together as Wisconsinites, as Americans, I'm all for. And by the way, Zommers, keep me honest. I talked to you after I talked to Sean. Did I say anything about our conversation that would give anything away?
You said a Wisconsin sports film. Sorry, I can't say more yet. You know, no.
So I kept my word. So now.
That's impressive, Todd. Thank you.
Because I was excited, as Sean knows. But now it's okay. We can show the trailer, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Please do.
So here from Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry is a trailer for No Packers, No Life.
We're wandering Tokyo, and I see a guy with a Packers jersey on. And I'm like, no way. I just quietly say, "Go Pack, go." And he shouts back, "Go Pack, go!" The Japanese Packer cheering team.
Packers number one.
I love Packers, no right.
Insanely passionate, to a degree which probably most people from Wisconsin aren't.
Wisconsin!
I said, "You guys are welcome to come to a Packer game anytime."
I couldn't believe that.
Why? And who are you?
The Green Bay way is to host, and we say, "Okay, come with us. We'll show you a good time."
We want them to experience the Green Bay way.
This is Green Bay!
Go Pack, go!
Wisconsin is human. The one team in the NFL that's owned by the people.
Gives people a connection that no other team offers.
No Packers, no life.
No Packers, no life. Only at Marcus Theaters on October 17th. We have the filmmakers joining us live via StreamYard. The great Sean Hannish and the great Paul Jaconi Berry. Guys, just like with A Bit Outside, when Sean showed it to me on Friday, and now I'm seeing it just does something to you as Wisconsinite, Sean.
Well, I think it does because, you know, as Wisconsinites, we kind of, you know, on our sleeve is our heart is on our sleeve. And we say, please come visit us. We're like, we're a lot of fun. And so, you know, I love what they say. And it's in the trailer there. All of Ty and his friends, Jada Merritt and Brandon, were like, we want to show them the Green Bay way, which is essentially the Wisconsin hospitality. And I mean, a lot of these people who are born and raised in Tokyo had never been to the States before. Mm-hmm. And imagine their first stop is Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right. And they get immersed in this community with these wonderful people, both wonderful visitors and wonderful hosts, and that they shared a lot more in common than you would imagine. I mean, they compared Green Bay to one of the tourist vacation destinations outside of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So there was a real around being a fan of the Green Bay Packers. True lifelong friendships developed. And I think you find that whenever you go anywhere outside of Wisconsin, certainly here in Los Angeles, or when I've been in France and Paris, I've been to Woe's Bar. Every city around the world seems to have a Packer bar and have a Packer following. So this is kind of like just taking, like dipping our toe into what it's like in Tokyo for these folks. And really what they, in a way, it holds a mirror up to us as Wisconsinites and as Packer fans. And kind of shows us, you know, what we have is really special with the Packers, and people around the world appreciate it.
And time now for my obligatory plug for the great underground sports pub in Hermosa Beach, owned by our friend Kelly Call. When you're in the greater Los Angeles area and you want to take in a Packer game, make sure you go to the underground pub in Hermosa Beach. I've been there. The steak sandwich is fantastic.
You're right. It's the best Packer bar in Los Angeles.
It is. It really is. Paul, talk to us. You guys probably know me. Packers had a rough game. It's been a rough day for Packer fans in Wisconsin today. Just a weird game, losing 13-10 yesterday to the Browns. But Zomer and I were talking before the show, and Paul, talk a little bit about this. I think, and I've always seen the trailer, but to me, anytime that we can see something that we might take for granted through the lens of someone else, it makes you appreciate what this team means to the state.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there for me. You know, before we made Just a Bit Outside, I had never set foot in Wisconsin. And the welcome that I received over the course of making that film, I mean, subsequently, I've been to Wisconsin more than anywhere else in the country. And the welcome and the hospitality and just the joy and heart of the people of Wisconsin has stuck with me, right? And so when we saw this film, that is really about that. I feel like an adoptive son of Wisconsin. I'm going to put that on my driver's license, adopted by Wisconsin.
Of course.
Because it is just such a welcoming, warm place filled with joy. And you have so many great things there. And people don't necessarily recognize it until they really come and see what the state has to offer. I mean, yes, Green Bay Packers. Everyone knows the Green Bay Packers. But not until you actually go to Lambeau. Not until you actually experience it in person, as I did just earlier this year for the first time, did it click for me. And it really is. This movie is such a love letter to the Wisconsin way. It is such a love letter to the people of Wisconsin. And I am beyond delighted to be able to share this with the people of Wisconsin so they can, you know, as Sean said, a mirror reflected back to them. They can see just how important and how special of a place they live in. So.
Sean, about a minute and a half before the first break here, but talk to us in the minute and a half here up to that a little bit about how, again, you guys kind of took your experience from Just a Bit Outside, and is it fair to say maybe cleaned up and sweetened some of the visuals and some of the sound to kind of get it ready for greater distribution for the original? Is that fair to say or not?
Oh, I think it's fair to say we took what we learned, yes, from Just a Bit Outside, both the marketing and distribution, but also in, you know, just the storytelling arena of like, what do people expect when they go to the theater? And, you know, we shared that with the filmmakers, Craig Benzine, the director, and Ty Morris, the producer, and they were incredibly amenable. In fact, they had been watching Just a Bit Outside and had seen the film and were like, we kind of want to do what those guys did. And, you know, through an incredible stroke of luck, we met them back there at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And that's the path they're following. I mean, the film is 90 minutes of pure joy. And it's worth, just like Just a Bit Outside was worth wearing your jersey to, wear your Packer jersey, come early, have a couple of beers, you know, tailgate, and get ready for an incredible joyride.
It is in Marcus Theaters starting on October 17th. We'll come back and talk more about this great film, No Packers, No Life, with Sean Hannish and Paul Ciccone Berry after this on the Civic Media Ready Network.
I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field where it belongs.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have WXEO Morning Report. Chet Holmes sits down with Quinn Zuhan of Marathon County Literacy Council about what services they provide and about an upcoming adult spelling bee they are hosting.
One time I lost a spelling bee because the word I had to spell was a finance, and I messed up.
Oh, jeez.
And my dad still holds that over me.
Well, Ian, you have a chance to get redemption now, because as adults, we have a chance to be part of a spelling bee, an adult spelling bee with the Marathon County Literacy Council, coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th. And to learn more about it, we're very happy to welcome Quinn Zuhan. She's the business manager for the Marathon County Literacy Council. And this is really exciting stuff. But good morning. Glad you could come on by.
Absolutely. Good morning. And I'm very happy to have this opportunity.
First of all, before we even talk about the spelling bee itself, the Marathon County Literacy Council, for folks who may not be familiar, could you give us a little information on that?
Absolutely. We are what I consider Marathon County's best kept secret. I've only been with them for about a week now, but I am loving a week, and I'm loving every second of it. I actually messaged my boyfriend one day and was like, I really love my new job.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's so great to love what you do. I do have some history, some background in teaching myself, so a part of this is coming home. At the Literacy Council, we really put an emphasis on that adult learning. You know, one out of seven adults in Marathon County struggle with literacy. As a teacher, as someone who grew up with. My mom was actually one of the reporters for the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. So every single one of my papers was gone over with the utmost scrutiny to make sure that the spelling, grammar, punctuation, everything was on point.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Just having that background, again, it just really feels like I'm coming home in some kind of aspect there. But at the Literacy Council, we do help with that tutoring. If you need help with reading, writing, studying for your driver's license test, mm-hmm. if you need help with building a resume, getting those job skills, that's what we're here to help with. Mm-hmm. You know, we do recognize that there is a niche for this, that there is a need for it, mm-hmm. and we really just want to get our name out there more, really let people know that A, we provide this service, and B, it's all for free. Every single one of our services we provide to anybody in the community for free. You can call us and make an appointment. You can just walk in off the street. We're open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. And again,
where are you located, by the way?
We are located right downtown next to Yankee Bookstore.
Oh, just down the road here.
Just down the road. Yep. We're kind of, I think a lot of people think we're part of Yankee just because, of course, we have the McLit sign out there, sure. and it does have a picture of a book. And I think right. a lot of people just kind of assume we're an additional entity to Yankee, mm-hmm. but we are completely separate, and we are here to help you and anybody.
What kind of programs are, maybe some examples of programs that you do offer for folks here in central Wisconsin?
Again, we don't really have like a specific, like you come in and we're going to help with ABC only.
Oh, okay.
If you want to come in and study for any kind of exam that you have coming up, if you wanted to go back to school and be a lawyer, a doctor, oh, wow. a whatever, and you're struggling with something, come on in and we can help you
so
with whatever it is.
Basically, yeah, if you have any idea that maybe this is some area I want to get stronger in,
yes.
you're willing to work with them.
Especially when it comes to language, we do have a big emphasis on ESL, so English as a second language. But on the flip side of that, most people don't even realize that we'll help you with your Spanish as well. So we will flip that. Come on in and you can get some lessons.
Fantastic. Really interesting stuff. And I have to admit, even just down the street here, I really did not know that. In your first week, and you popped by last week to say hello and to provide the information about the adult spelling bees. Very, very cool indeed. We're talking to Quinn Suhan from the Marathon County Literacy Council. And coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th, let's get into this event because it sounds like it could be a lot of fun, a lot of coolness to it. It's an adult spelling bee.
Yes.
And it's raising money to be a hive builder for literacy and BEE. That's very, very cool indeed.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what this event's all about and maybe what people need to know.
The McLee Bee Benefit, that's definitely a mouthful, is an evening of unforgettable fun that's really just going to heighten the community awareness and share our impact and help increase the understanding of the vital role that adult education really can play and literacy can play in our community. We truly believe that the learning process never stops. An adult spelling bee is really going to help demonstrate that beautifully. Again, like you mentioned, it really is a great way to help raise money and promote that literacy, bringing together a diverse audience. It is going to be on Tuesday, October 7th at the Labor Temple from 6 to 8 p.m. It is advertised as an adult spelling bee, but it is a family-friendly event. So
the kids want to be involved, they can do it as well?
Absolutely, and that's kind of what we want to promote as well. Show sure. the kids that the adults are still learning, still working towards making themselves better as well. I think a lot of kids get the impression that the learning stops when you become an adult, and I'm sure you can agree that is the exact opposite. We are always continuing to learn and improve ourselves, and this is a great way to show that too.
I think, Ian, maybe you and I may have to pop on over there and do a head-to-head here so you can go deeper into this thing.
I think so as well. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, boys, you guys can help come and contribute to the event. We have a silent auction. So if anybody out there, the public or businesses, really wanted to contribute, you can contribute to our silent auction. You can sponsor a team for $100. Oh, so wow. If you two wanted to be a team, you can totally join. You can volunteer to help at the event on the 7th, or you can just buy a ticket to the Bee, come out and enjoy a night of spelling, pizza, non-alcoholic beverage, and of course, a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And to get more information, maybe because, I mean, we've gone through a lot of things here this morning. You can get information on your website, I imagine, correct?
Yes.
What is the website?
McLitOfWausau.org. Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook under the same handle.
Fantastic. So McLitOfWausau.org. And then get more on this event and other events / events as well. And also, I imagine, just stop on by here downtown.
Absolutely. Like I said, we are open 9 to 4. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Fantastic. Should be a lot of fun Tuesday. Thursday, October the 7th, really for a great cause, but a lot of fun as well. The Marathon County Literacy Council Adult Spelling Bee. Yeah, well, and it'll be held at the Labor Temple in Wausau, correct?
Yes.
So at the Labor Temple, just again, here in Wausau, 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, October 7th. So again, get more information, MC Mick Litt of Wausau, MCLIT of Wausau.org for the Marathon County Literacy Council. Quinn Suhan, great to have you on board and great for your new job. And again, as you continue, I'd love to have you back and talk about other events.
Oh, absolutely. I got plenty of ideas and plenty in store. So I would love to revisit and get people more involved.
Top of the hour news update is coming up. We'll be back with another WXCO morning report at 8:22 included will be our number for the day quiz with Ian. But up next, it's a top of the hour news update, news, weather, and sports, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Brief. Hamas says it agrees with parts of President Trump's peace deal for Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata.
Hamas says it is willing to release all the remaining hostages, living and dead, and that it will hand over power to an independent Palestinian body.
It's not clear if Hamas is willing to give up any role in the governance of Gaza. Sean Diddy Combs' lawyers say they will appeal his sentence of more than 4 years in prison for two prostitution-related charges. CBS's Jerika Duncan says the judge told Combs' victims, "We heard you.
We read about it in text messages and emails. We saw it in the images of gashes, bruises, broken doors, and we saw the video of your savage beating of Miss Ventura."
The judge gave Combs credit for the 13 months he's already served. The U.S. has destroyed another suspected drug trafficking boat. Here's CBS's Charlie Daggett.
It's the fourth strike on a boat off Venezuela in a month.
Four people were killed in the strike. President Trump has declared cartels unlawful combatants. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wall.
Playoff baseball in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Cubs getting underway with the best of five-game series in the NLDS. Chicago against Milwaukee, the two teams facing off in the postseason for the very first time in franchise history. The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Obviously, the familiarity is there, but the stakes are the same. It didn't matter if we were playing the Cubs or the Padres, like you still want to win to advance to the next round. You know, it's two passionate fan bases that are pretty familiar with each other over the years.
Craig Counsell was the Brewers manager for 9 seasons and now wrapping up his second year in Chicago.
At least from my perspective, kind of being on both sides of it, I think the regular season matchups are awesome. It's a lot of fun. A lot of times it's kind of there's extra energy from fans and there's fans from both teams in the building. And that's always made it a lot of fun. Teams being good makes rivalries.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunny and breezy. Temperatures very warm, highs in the upper 80s. Winds will gust to 35 out of the south. For tonight, clear and breezy, a low around 68. Slight chance of a storm on Sunday, otherwise sunny and breezy with a high around 81.
It's 67 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Malva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up, we have the Matt Nair on Air show. Jane and Greg talk with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins the show to talk about all the recent press conference from President Trump regarding Tylenol and the unsubstantiated claim of its link to autism taken by pregnant folks.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guest, our friend and colleague, and host of our own show on weekends.
So fun.
We want to remind you that our multi-state text win Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway right now. Mm-hmm. So grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. That is the only way to enter.
Yes.
You have to have the Civic Media app. Not going to cost you any money.
No.
It's completely free.
Correct.
So open up your Civic Media app, text in the word YARD. Y-A-R-D. Text in the word YARD. You're in the running for the daily prize, which is $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then you're in the running for the grand prize. Two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay take on Minnesota November 23rd at noon. We have a gas card to get you there and back. It's worth $1,550.
It's amazing.
It's a pretty nice package.
I think I'm more like, Packer tickets are great. Don't get me wrong. But I will say this. I love the gift card option.
The gas card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nice. So text in the word.
Such a nerd.
And for so many reasons.
I love a value.
YARD is the word, Y-A-R-D. And by the way, I wanted to say good morning to Brian from Mozami, who just texted in morning.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Brian. And that's not the word, by the way. The word is YARD.
YARD.
Y-A-R-D. Good luck. You have until 10 o'clock. And then your next word coming your way at 11. She is our guest, Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on weekends. Good morning, my friend. Your phone must have been blowing up yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, the day before. We were already talking about using Tylenol in pregnancy and whether it was a link to autism, which there is not. Tylenol
right.
in pregnancy does not cause autism. So, I mean, that's been kind of brewing, but to hear that big declaration, to hear Trump stumble through the word acetaminophen, to see the reaction, and then to get all these texts from so many friends who are either pregnant or are living with autism in their family. This has stirred up so much emotion and so many questions and so much conversation. I think people are really starting to see it.
I took that clip that you put out on social media explaining directly about the zero findings of a link between Tylenol and autism. And I put that on a friend's social media post because he was posting about it, of course, agreeing with what you're talking about. And then someone, because there's always someone, comes in going, well, why can't we just allow doctors to blah, blah, blah? And it became into a whole thing. And I just finally said, here is my friend. She is very smart. This is what she's saying, corroborating another doctor's comment, by the way. And I said specifically, this topic is not worth her time. She's got other things to be doing, but now she has to talk about it and talk about something very simple because the president of the United States, not just a dude, got up on the most microphoned podium in the country, maybe the world, and said these words. And the thing that really rocked me on in the whole clip, Dr. Lyle, is the fact that you have to say now to people, it's not your fault.
I know. That is the worst part, because people who have family members who are taking care of friends with autism, they're suffering. They want an answer. And to give them this false hope and to somehow make it seem like it is their fault that they ended up in this situation is just so beyond shameful. And for the president of the United States to say it in the way that he said it, and then to go on and say that pregnant women should just suffer with their pain. I mean, you don't want them to have birth control. You don't want them to have abortions. You want them to get pregnant, but you don't want them to have the things that they need to be able to navigate their pregnancies safely, including hospitals in rural areas where they can deliver their babies. I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
That really jumped out at me too, Dr. Lyerly, when he said, if you can't tough it out, essentially, if you're not tough enough to deal with your discomfort, then okay, I guess you can take it. Kind of indicting pregnant women for not being tough enough. We're not being tough enough. Even though other Republicans have said it requires no special gifts to give birth.
Right. Or they think as soon as the baby comes out, like the pregnancy is over.
Everything's not back to normal.
No, it takes a year to recover. It's just, it's shameful. Yeah. You know, it's... There just aren't that many things that people can use in pregnancy to manage pain. And this is something that we've used forever. And most people use it at some point in their pregnancy. So for him to do this and to put pregnant women in a situation where they're always thinking about, should I put this in my body? Should I eat this? Should I take this medicine? Should I treat this condition? And they often don't want to even treat things like blood pressure problems because they're worried that the medicine that they take is going to cause problems for their baby. When in reality, high blood pressure causes many more problems.
Yep.
Yes. So women have to have the information that they need, and they need to be encouraged to take the right medications that they need to treat their conditions. And that is exactly the opposite of what Donald Trump and RFK were saying.
Well, and again, neither of them are doctors. They're not even medical researchers. They're two dudes.
Yeah. With a political agenda. With an agenda. Yes. And the comments that people have made on that post, which has gotten like 115,000 views. I mean, it was really popular. Some of the comments where people were questioning the data, or they would say, well, did you see the Harvard study? Well, did you see all the studies? You can't just cherry pick one thing or another. One study does not make a medical movement.
Right.
If they can get the name of one study or name a college or a university or something, when they say check theirs, it's like, do you know what you're really talking about right now? Do you understand what you're doing? Because you are trying to now, because someone else will hear these words and they won't research it. They'll just say, well, I know Harvard's a smart place and they said study. So I'll just say Harvard study and they'll know what I'm talking about.
If you're just joining us, by the way, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. She's the host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show in Green Bay on weekends. And we're talking about Donald Trump and Bob Jr.'s announcements yesterday. Don't take Tylenol. We have a compilation. Yeah.
Courtesy of Jimmy Kimmel, actually.
Compilation courtesy of the Kimmel Show.
If you want to, here's a basic summation of the entire speech they gave earlier this week from the White House regarding this topic. Calvin, will you play that, please?
Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. With Tylenol, don't take it. Don't take it. Don't use Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Fight like hell not to take
it. There it is.
I think you shouldn't take it. Don't take Tylenol. The baby goes, gets a shot. They say, here, take a drop of Tylenol. I've heard that for years. Take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't have your baby take Tylenol. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give your baby Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. Don't take it. So that's it. There's nothing much to say. Don't take Tylenol. Just don't take it. And I just say it again. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it.
That sums it up, what he just said there. There's nothing left to say. Yeah, there was it. Nothing to say to begin with.
Yeah, that's it.
Grandpa, it's time for bed.
Yeah, exactly. And the other important piece of this that I think is getting skipped over. So the alternative now that they're suggesting, this Leucovorin contains a folic acid, from what I understand. This is being sold by a company that Dr. Oz has stake in.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you that the data is not there for leucovorin. So this is another whole entire problem. The data is not there. We are years away from being able to recommend leucovorin. And the data at this point only supports that it treats a particular symptom in a certain subset of people with autism. But they're selling it like if you have autism, they're almost selling it like a cure, like a snake oil. But it's not there, guys. And the fact that they're making it available to people who have Medicaid and it's going to be something that you can get your hands on, it's not there. This is false hope and it's not fair.
And isn't it? It's like supplements. It's a St. John's wort. It's the same thing as those kinds of things. Is that correct?
It's not. It is a B vitamin, so it sounds like it's a supplement, but it's actually something that we use in chemotherapy to treat methotrexate overdoses. I've never used it in my practice because it is there are some very particular uses, but it's not like a multivitamin that you can just buy over the counter. You do need a prescription for it.
But again, I think it's important to note, at least from what I was finding yesterday, Dr. Oz, who is now part of our health system, is part of a group that owns this drug.
Well, and also speaking of Dr. Oz, 24 hours ago, and this was reported in, I'm looking at YouTube, Yahoo News, he walked the statement from President Trump back.
Oh, he did.
And he said, quote, "We know that people who take Tylenol for prolonged periods of time during pregnancy seem to have a higher incidence of autism in aggregate." I don't know what that means. What? Show me the study on that one, Doc. So the message is not, never take Tylenol. It's take Tylenol judiciously. Take it by talking with your doctor. Make sure that you have an important reason to take. Important reason is pain. Because of pain, don't take it. Hey, this is the words of a doctor. Don't take it willy-nilly because you think it's so safe. It couldn't possibly cause a problem because those assumptions appear to be erroneous. That statement just wrapped in tons of research and data, doctor. I don't even know how we're talking about this. He's right, we're wrong. Let's take some supplements.
But isn't that the advice that you would give any patient, Dr. Lyerly, is take it sparingly, right? Nobody's like, yes, take as many drugs as you can ingest. No doctor is telling you that, or are they?
And talk to your doctor about it so that you can personalize your care. But, you know, what you said, Greg, I think is really important because this is what they did with leucovorin. This is what they're doing with these Tylenol studies. They find something that has a grain of truth to it. And, you know, when you look at all the Tylenol studies out there, there are some studies that show that there is an association between taking Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. And that is true. And there are other studies that show that there is not an association, including a recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that was huge. So the association is a maybe, but association does not mean causation.
Right.
It does not mean that Tylenol in pregnancy causes autism. It's like saying eating ice cream is associated with drowning. Eating ice cream doesn't make you drown. You just eat ice cream when it's warmer out and you also go swimming more often. So they take that confusing piece of information that a lot of people who aren't in the science world and can't parse out the studies because they don't have the background, and they use it to politicize it and benefit from it. And it's wrong.
I also think it's important. VAERS keeps coming up. It's V-A-E-R-S, VAERS. Ron Johnson cited it yesterday because now he's still pushing the horse medication and talking about all the reports on VAERS. I could go to the VAERS website and report that I drank orange juice and I grew a unicorn horn. I could.
Yes.
Because there is no checkup on those reports to VAERS, correct?
And there shouldn't be. And there shouldn't be because it is meant to be an open database where people can report whatever their adverse effects are. And then they take that information and look into it.
I'm going to do that right after the show. It's getting in the way of my headphones, this unicorn horn. It's just not very useful. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the other side. If you have questions, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.com. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
the fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota,
we are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And last but not least on the Civic Media Spotlight, we move to Valley Focus with Lisa Hale. Ava Engel, the executive director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, joins Lisa to discuss the success of the Walk for the Animals fundraising event and the Gray Muzzle Grant the shelter has received for medical care for senior animals. Tune in.
For WISS, I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I'm joined by Ava Engel, who is the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. Hi, Ava.
Hello.
We have got to talk about the Walk for the Animals. You guys had a very successful fundraising event this month in September. So tell me a little bit of how that went.
Oh, Lisa, it went really, really well. We had, this whole campaign around our Walk for the Animals is something that we start planning on early on in the summer. And we're raising funds for our medical care because every animal that comes into the shelter gets medical care. So it's not just the ones that are sick. Every single one gets microchipped, vaccinated. And of course, those that need medical care, additional medical care, receive that as well. So we fundraise every year. And this year we had a goal set that was a record high goal of $65,000. And I'm super thrilled to tell you that we exceeded our goal. Our preliminary final fundraising total is $68,400.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. So you met your goal and exceeded it by over $3,000. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I know there were a lot of people that helped you put this together and came together to work for the animals. Can you tell a little bit about the volunteers and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And it's our staff are really focused on this event as well and planning it out. And then we always need volunteers to, well, first off, to distribute the signs, put up signs so people know that we're doing the walk for the animals. Our volunteers help us fundraise through pledges from their friends and family. And then, of course, at the event itself, we have so many different booths and activities for kids, and we always need volunteers to help with that.
So this is something that if you didn't get to help out this year, because it's past this year and mm-hmm. you've done such a good job, maybe next year, if somebody really wants to get involved and help, they could.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I would just urge them to sign up pretty early if they are not a current volunteer, because we send out to current volunteers our asks to see who is interested in helping. But if they are not a volunteer yet, they can apply. I would probably urge doing that in the spring and just upfront identify that you'd be very interested in helping with the walk. It's a lot of fun. So definitely we are super excited to welcome anyone.
Absolutely. So that event, fantastic event. You've mm-hmm. raised a lot of money. And I do want to go back and mention that this is all, as you said, for medical care for the mm-hmm. pets. And I think maybe people don't think about that each animal that comes through, you don't know their vaccination history. So they all have to be vaccinated.
Absolutely.
You mm-hmm. don't know their medical history. So they have to be looked over. They have to be mm-hmm. assessed. Mm-hmm. Some of them need dental work. Badly.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Some have injuries. Some mm-hmm. have upper respiratory infections, mm-hmm. kennel cough, all sorts of different
chronic
things.
Conditions as yeah. well, diabetes, kidney issue. Yes, various chronic conditions too. Mm-hmm.
And this money all goes to help pay for those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Medical care is expensive. Medical and surgical supplies have become much more expensive. So of course that cost increases year over year.
Pets get older.
They do.
And mm-hmm. as they get older, they sometimes run into different problems. The older the animal, the more likely they are to have dental problems.
Just like human beings. Just like human beings, yes.
Exactly. Really. You know, I have a very old Chihuahua. He's about, we figure, 14, 15 years old. And I can see on some mornings that he's just slow mm-hmm. and doesn't feel good. And I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So these older pups and these older cats and older even bunnies and whatnot mm-hmm, that you guys mm-hmm. get, the Oshkosh Area Humane Society recently got a grant.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. For specifically for medical care for senior animals.
And it was the gray muzzle grant.
Yes,
I think is what it was
called. And we do special blood work for our seniors. And so, especially for dogs, if we're looking at what is a senior, so it's really 7 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there are so many animals that come in at that age that either come in as strays, where we can as best guesstimate how old the animal is. But we also get a lot of surrenders due to the hardships right now, financial hardships out there. So for those animals that we know are elderly and they have a birth date, so to speak, all of those get the senior care as well. Mm-hmm.
And this gray muzzle grant, how much of a grant did you guys get? Do you know?
We get $11,000.
Well, that's mm-hmm. still, that mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And many of these seniors also need dental care. And as you know, dental care, those are long procedures. So yeah. It takes our veterinarian quite some time to go through those and it pays for that. So we're extremely grateful. They are wonderful, wonderful partners for us.
Do you guys do anything special to adopt out the elderly animals that you might have at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society?
We do. We try to focus a lot of our marketing and kind of social media exposure on these seniors, because seniors really make wonderful, wonderful pets. They really do. And so it's promoting them in social media. We also, a lot of times, we have very low to no adoption costs on these senior animals. We also have a lot of times folks who sponsor adoption fees. For dogs specifically, our cats don't have adoption fees at all. Regardless of age, all we ask for is that the adopter pay for microchip and for the vaccine. But other than that, we really, we do not have adoption costs for cats, but for dogs, we do. And these senior dogs, a lot of the time we have the fees sponsored by somebody, a donor or an organization. And I want to give specifically a shout out to Pete's Garage Bar, who now are sponsoring adoption fees and food and toys for many of our long-termers. So they are wonderful to work with.
And they absolutely, you got to give Pete's Garage props for anything.
Yes,
I just
absolutely
love them. They're so irreverent and just so much fun in the community, but they really care about the community.
Oh, absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We're so grateful. Like, I couldn't tell you enough.
So if somebody is interested in adopting a senior mm-hmm. pet or helping out at the shelter, where do they go? What can they do?
They can go to our website, oahs.org. And they can see the volunteer opportunities and the available animals. And we always list the age of the animal as well. Or if they have very specific questions, they can always email to info@oahs.org. And then I'm typically the one who is addressing all those emails, and I can direct them to the right person.
Absolutely. Yava Engel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Love coming here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Michael Wallace. Hamas says it agrees with parts of President Trump's peace plan for Gaza. It's willing to release all hostages and hand over administration of the Gaza Strip to a Palestinian body of independence. CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
While Hamas stopped short of agreeing to everything in the U.S. proposal, this is a significant development and the closest we've come to a deal to end the war since it started almost 2 years ago.
President Trump says Israel needs to stop bombing Gaza so the hostages can get out safely. He says all hell will break out against Hamas if it doesn't agree to the deal. The government will remain shut down over the weekend after the Senate rejected competing spending bills yesterday. House Speaker Mike Johnson canceled plans to have members return to Washington next week. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Johnson and House Republicans care more about protecting the Epstein files than protecting the American